Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about the challenges that so many families face when navigating support through the local authority for their children. We're going to talk about the EHCP delays to the mystery surrounding alternative provision and specialist schools. If you've ever felt like you're fighting an uphill battle just to get your child what they need, you're not alone. We're sharing our own experiences, frustrations, and the lessons we've learned.
There's too much to say. Okay, you go.
I was having a think about when we have had to deal with the local authority, and it started off with the EHCP process. And then there was also alternative provision as part of that when the school placement was breaking down.
You can come across dealing with the local authority before you get to the HCP stage. If your child isn't attending school, you can be put in touch with the inclusion officer and asked to attend regular meetings. That's what happened with us.
In my experience, it has involved lots of chasing up. So with various reports you need to gather for the HCP and making sure it's all on track. And just to paint the picture, when you have a child that's struggling at home, struggling generally with school, home, they don't yet have a diagnosis. So you're trying to learn everything you possibly can about ASD, and you're dealing with daily meltdowns. They're being sent home from school. So you've got all of that going on. And then on top of that, you need to deal with the local authority and their really frustrating processes.
Yes.
We were looking at alternative provision for our child, and I found that really frustrating because I asked for a list because I wanted to have a look at what the options might be myself. And there's quite a lot of secrecy involved, and I'm not really sure why. So I wasn't able to view a list, even though one obviously exists. So I had to do my own research, and I contacted these places myself because we were going into a half term. That is usually a really quiet time. A lot of people take holiday during half term, so it's hard to get hold of anyone at the local authority at that point. So you're trying to progress things, but I was just trying to do what I could. So I made my own inquiries, found out that there were a possible few placements for my son. Then we go back to school, we go to a meeting, and I'm told the council have done their own inquiries and there are no placements available. Which is not what I found. But at that point, because I'd done my own research, I was able to say, well, I've spoken to this place and this place, and they all say they have a place. So, you know, that's frustrating. So they then go back and eventually we found somewhere. But it's that added...
Yeah, you have to be on top of it.
Yes. Yes, and I just think there should be a better way. And I know so many stories from other parents. It's standard, isn't it? And there seems to be a lot of staff turnover, staff sickness, as well as the usual annual leave. I'm not saying they shouldn't go on their annual leave.
It's shocking, though, because I don't think you would see this in other industries, for example, private sector. I had a query with my child and I needed to speak to somebody fairly urgently the day that they broke up for the Easter holidays. And when I finally got through to speak to someone, I was told that there was no point in me ringing again to speak to someone during the Easter holidays. The person I needed to speak to was on long-term sick and nobody else was there. So apparently they take 2.5 weeks off and there's no cover. I couldn't run my business like that. I just had to wait. But that's just one of those other frustrations. You think that you could maybe tick something off your list and you can't. It's an added layer, as you said, when you're dealing with all this. Another thing that I've come across is that you think something is approved or something is done. They've said that's fine. And then nothing happens. Just an example, we'd been promised tutoring support. It took quite a lot of correspondence to get to the point where tutoring had to go to panel. I was told it was approved. And I was told that the tutors would be in touch. 2 months later, Nothing. It's still being chased.
My goodness.
It's just another added layer that if parents aren't managing it, along with managing everything else, it's something that's, realistically isn't going to happen.
It's another thing that you have to keep on top of, isn't it? I was making weekly phone calls with our contact at the local authority just to check in. And I'm sure she really did not like having those phone calls with me. But it was just that I felt that if I didn't, we'd drop off the radar and then nothing would happen. You just have to keep on to get what your child needs. Because at that point, your child is often struggling so much that you just need something sorted out for them.
Absolutely. And then weeks and months in their life, that's a very long time when they're going without the support that they need. But there seems to be no hurry.
And I don't really understand what goes on there, but I'm sure improvements could be made to processes if they could work with parents, collaborate with us, treat us like, intelligent human beings. I'm sure they could set up systems where they can track EHCPs and we can log in and see a process, see, okay, that part's been ticked, or they're still waiting for that. Maybe I could chase that person to help it move along rather than just being blind.
I also think there needs to be more transparency.
And also with specialist schools as well. Why is there not a list available so that we can have a look to see what possible schools might be good for our children? Why is that a secret?
I know you're completely blind, aren't you?
I do wonder if it's because of financial reasons, because they cost different things and they don't want parents just plucking the most expensive school. Is it to do with that? I don't know. But I really do think it should be more accessible.
If your child isn't coping in mainstream, you're completely at sea with what happens next. What does that look like if you have a child that needs something different? Because when you're in the mainstream school system, you know that you've got these choices. We're in the middle school system, but you might have a choice of primary or secondary schools or first schools, middle schools, upper schools, depending on where you live, however it works. But once your child is out of that system, how do you even navigate it? How do you decide what's right? Because if you were choosing a first school or primary school for your child, you would be thinking, well, that school might work, that's near, that's good at this. I'm going to look round. Certainly with choosing middle schools, I can go back that far. And there were three choices for us, and you weighed them up. Which one's going to be the right fit? And then obviously you apply, you're not necessarily going to get it, but you go to an open day perhaps, and you might have that choice. But once you're talking not that and specialist, it's just not transparent. You then had the issue, didn't you, with what they thought was right and you didn't think was right.
There was a school suggested for us, which was going to be at least a 50-minute drive each way every day. And at the time, our son was six. How am I supposed to work and do that journey and look after our other child? But also putting him in a taxi at 6 years old to school when, that's a long day anyway for a 6-year-old. And then to add on that travel. And also, I know it would be stressful for him.
That's quite a lot to ask.
Definitely.
So then that involves more advocacy, more of your time. I remember you had to prove the case of why a nearer school was going to work out better. And if
Yeah.
they said that he had to go to this school that was so far away, why you felt that it might fail. But again, it's like you're doing one of your assignments and you've got to put the arguments.
I remember getting in touch with a lot of people who were involved with our son at the time to get quotes to help support the case for this school that was nearer to us. And we did get the right school in the end, but we only found out the day before the last day of term at the end of that school year. So there wasn't really much time to prepare him for that.
Decisions when they happen so quickly for our children that sometimes they go from one setting to the next setting without much warning at all.
And this is with children who find change difficult as well. So, careful management would be really helpful.
You feel like your child isn't the priority and isn't being given a lot of thought here, especially children who need extra time to get used to change. They're needs need taking into consideration. And it just doesn't always happen. It's like, you've got this, you should be grateful that you've got this specialist place, which we are, of course we are. I know there's a lot of pressures, they must be overworked, but it doesn't make it easy for parents and carers who are advocating for their children, just trying to get them what they need and trying to make sure that they're not further damaged by what's going on.
Definitely. That's the key. And I do think so much could be improved for the local authority staff too. I'm sure they are stressed, overworked. They're dealing with these parents who are often stressed, emotional. And if we could meet in the middle somewhere, just to ease everything for everyone, that would be helpful.
It's not a surprise, really, when you phone them and you hear that so and so's off sick. Well, it must be a nightmare job. You are dealing with parents, carers who are under a great deal of pressure, trying to look after their children, hold down jobs, and advocate for their children. People we know saying that they're emailing every single day, because if you don't, you know very well what's going to happen. You're just going to fall off the radar. It's really, really draining. I do remember having that moment with my son, thinking, if I've got to try and get him what he needs, this is going to take a lot of fighting, and I don't feel that's necessarily in my nature. I thought, do I really want this? Is there another way? But before I know it, we were embroiled in that process because there wasn't really another option. And it has been worth it to get him in the right setting, but it shouldn't be this hard. There should be more efficient processes
And more transparency.
and more transparency. I would say that one of the most important lessons that I learned was that you can't leave it in anyone else's hands. You can't leave those dates of when you're supposed to be hearing back from someone. You can't trust that you will hear back. You need to have them in your calendar.
That's a really good point, actually. You need to have it all noted down, and then you need to be contacting those people saying the date's coming up. Are we on track?
Make notes in your calendar. For example, if it's the EHCP process that you're going through, know when you should be hearing. If they've said they'll get back to you next week, then chase them.
I felt like I was being rude or inconveniencing people, but actually, you just have to do what you have to do, and you can do it in a nice way. You don't have to be rude to anybody, but it's just best to keep on top of it all.
We know today's episode might have brought up a lot, because this is something so many families are dealing with behind the scenes. We'd love to hear more about your experiences. If you have any tips for managing the process, you can share them with us over at theautismmums.com or on social media. All our links are in the show notes. Let's keep the conversation going and support each other through this journey. Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.